from Trailblaze. Welcome to Anchored. We're your hosts, Shay.
And Elise. And today we're taking organized labor on a date. Why a date instead of an interview? Well, we're glad you probably asked. We're dating individuals, causes, and parts of Rhode Island history because it feels like everyone already dates everyone else in Rhode Island. And this will give you a firsthand experience about what it's like to sit across from a table from your date without actually having to sit across the table from your date. Now, with that said, for today, given that Jimmy Hoffa is still nowhere to be found and an upcoming holiday aptly named Labor Day, we want to bring a little, I don't know, meat to the conversation surrounding labor. What is it? Who is it? What does it stand for? Why is it important? Or is it?
And because we aren't journalists, capitalized aren't, we're just two former tour guides with an interest in everything, having to do with anything. So we're going to be celebrating the upcoming Labor Day holiday with a little edutainment. And I mean, if we want to celebrate holidays that mean something, we should know more about what we celebrate. So we decided to tap the maple tree that is Rhode Island organized labor, aka get the start from the source. And that source is none other than union organizer for the AFL-CIO and executive board member of the Rhode Island Labor History Society, Autumn Guyot. Autumn, how is it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me, you two.
We're super excited to be taking you and Rhode Island labor on a date today. But before we begin, like all good therapists and Instagram therapists alike, trust is very important, they tell us. So in order to build some trust for our listeners, Autumn, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from, how you know Rhode Island so well, and how you know labor unions so well?
Oh, and maybe what AFL-CIO actually means.
ABC, sure. EFG.
Let's see. My name is Autumn Guyot. I am a lifelong Rhode Islander, despite the fact that I technically was not born here.
Hot take.
Jot that down.
I've lived in the state most of my conscious life. I'm from North Kingstown and Warwick. I claim them both, I guess. And I got involved with labor really young. There's a National History Day competition that goes through the state. And as a tiny little middle schooler, my grandma got me to dress up as Mother Jones, the grandmother of the American labor movement, for my project. And it took me all the way to nationals and got me $100 cash prize.
Ooh. Mm-hmm,
from the Rhode Island Labor History Society. And I was like, I can get paid to do my homework. I'm going to stick with labor for the rest of my life.
Heck yeah.
And ever since, you know, labor pays. That's like the one thing.
Literally.
It's like the whole point. So I've just been totally in love with the stories and the traditions and the craziness that is the labor movement in this state and in this country. The AFL-CIO stands for the American Federation of Labor - well, I'm going to mess this up. The Congress or the Constitutional International Organization. I always mess up the CIO part because no one really...
They don't get that far.
They don't get that far. It's kind of already...
It's not chief information officer.
It's like AFL-CIO. And it's funny. So the AFL-CIO is the project of a merger that happened in 1955. So originally it was just the AFL and the CIO.
And CIO is the least important part. It's like the Nextel in the Sprint.
Oh, merger? Absolutely.
Nobody remembers.
No, absolutely not. And we should not say that. So there's a lot of infighting, like with all things. I like to joke that it's disorganized labor, right? Like you're still dealing with people at the end of the day. So there's going to be personality conflicts and everything else. CIO traditionally, historically, was more quote-unquote unskilled workers. It included a whole lot more women, people of color, new immigrants working in like lower paying, less skilled industries. And the AFL traditionally organized skilled workers that were easier to bring into a tighter unit. So
when you say skilled, you mean like have to get certificates or schooling or some sort of education?
Okay. Yeah. So like skilled usually involves an apprenticeship program or some sort of training or, you know, when you're trying to get into the electrical workers or something like that, you have, it's like, oh, I got into the union, because it's getting into an apprenticeship program. It's getting into this training and certification.
It's a super cool club.
It is a super cool club. We're all about cool clubs.
Are there jackets and stuff?
There are.
There are patches.
There's jackets. There's
members
patches.
Only. There's union members only.
There's t-shirts.
Oh, shit.
I like a good t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. We all love a good. There's swag.
I like a long sleeve tee more, but like that's a different conversation.
But you got to look for that union bug.
Always.
When you're buying swag. The little.
A little, bug?
It looks like a little bug. It's just like kind of this little circle thing that you'll see it on like business cards or printouts, especially on like election materials. You'll see like a little union bug that says that they went to a union print shop.
Sometimes people fake those. I'm not naming names, but sometimes people fake them.
So if it doesn't have it, if you're looking at a candidate that doesn't have a union bug on their materials, sus. Mad sus.
That was targeted. I know it.
Duh.
But we will not name names until after the election season.
Yeah.
So Autumn, or should we call you Big Labor?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No.
Do you want me to call
Please
you?
Don't.
Please don't.
Please don't. Okay. So, Autumn, in any case, we're thrilled that you're joining us and coming on this first date on behalf of the labor movement. I know it's a lot of pressure, but I'm sure you've been up against a lot worse.
Yes. Well, labor is all about contention in an effort to bring us all together. So,
it's really beautiful.
It is.
Oh, thank you.
That's a Tumblr quote.
It's really beautiful.
No, not her quote. No,
stitch it into a pillow or something.
Yeah, can you knit that?
I probably could. Yeah.
So before we go on this date, I want to ask both of you, because I know you both love good restaurant cuisine in Rhode Island. Where are we going on this date?
I mean, like it seems that we should be meeting for coffee at one of the only organized coffee shops in the state, but. I don't know. Autumn, where would you like to go on this date?
Oh, there's so many great places. We're a big fan of co-ops.
Okay.
Co-ops put a lot more power to the workers, give them literal ownership over their work and their labor. So,
like Market Basket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Market Basket's union and they're co-op. Stop and Shop is union.
Hey. That's right. That's right.
You can go get a rotisserie chicken, go down by the pub.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's a really good, creepy
White
date.
Electric recently became a co-op.
Mm-hmm.
We love them. Great coffee. And then there's always a, what's that place? Begins with an F.
Fortnite.
Thank you.
It's not really across the street from Black Peepak, but we'll work on your
for
geography.
For me and my...
It's like way down the street.
State history, not geography. Okay.
Oh, it moved?
Oh shit. Yeah, because they were on...
It's like diagonal.
Dorrance.
It's close enough. You can see Peepak.
Oh, check that out. Yeah. All right.
So date time at a co-op, White Electric, Market Basket. We can all go on a date in the cafe at Market Basket, the new one in Warwick. Yeah.
Oh, there is one in Warwick now. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to check if they're actually union now. It depends. But
it's going to get awkward.
Prepared food sections at Eastside Marketplace.
Yeah.
Because that's owned by Stop and Shop.
Yeah, they're now owned by Stop and Shop. Stoop and Shoop. Shoop and Stoop. All right, let's get started with this date before she leaves. All right. Like any first date, we want to know when and where did you, as in the Rhode Island labor movement, come from?
Labor comes from a lot of places. Most people like to mark the labor movement's beginnings with also the start of industrialization in the state.
Hmm.
But you can go all the way back to the medieval period where you have trade guilds. Earlier, if we're just talking the United States, we have colonial trade guilds. And then we also have things like... the Fellowship Club of Rhode Island, which was started by maritime workers in Providence as a way to give some refuge and resources to families of maritime workers who have died or been injured, so they have some sort of recourse in that time. Then you also have like more skilled trades like carpenters or masons coming together in the 1700s to set rules of the trade. Like, these are the standard prices. These are the standard work hours we're going to do. This is like trying to standardize their industry. So you see a lot more collective action. Wherever there's working people, there is that sense of solidarity and collective action. But if you're talking about traditional trade unionism, that really does come out of industrialization in the state.
I mean, Rhode Island loves industrialization.
Well, we do. We're the start of it, right? Slater Mill established in 1790.
Birthplace of the American Industrial Revolution. Samuel Slater, Moses Brown.
Exactly. You know, we've all been forced on that field trip, right?
Oh, my God.
Elementary school.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the first factory in the United States. It's just up there in Pawtucket. Pawtucket's kind of, in Rhode Island, this epicenter of industrialization. Because you, wherever you have waterways, especially after the 1790s and the Slater Mill system, you have the mills because they were water-powered. Mm-hmm. So Rhode Island being so porous, so full of rivers and moving bodies of water, you get mills sprouting up all over, especially in the northern part of the state. So this mill, at the time when it started, employed 7 boys and 2 girls, all under the age of 12.
Ooh. Oh.
Child labor is par for the course at this point in time. I mean, Sam Slater started as a child laborer in a factory in England. So for him, it was just, oh, I was a child in a factory. I'm going to stock my factory with kids. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
But child labor wouldn't formally be ended in the United States until 1938 with the passage of the Fair Labor Standards Act, which came out of the FDR administration and was a brain baby. Mm-hmm. Of the first female cabinet member in the United States. Mm-hmm. And the first ever Secretary of Labor, Frances Perkins.
I just got goosebumps.
Yeah. Ooh. And she came out of the traditional trade union organizing in New York. So that this labor legislation that comes through in the 1930s has a lot of roots in industrialized action, especially around factories. So from the 1700s all the way up to the 1930s, you see this industrial terminology to the way that we govern workers and the way that we try to protect them as well.
Oh, check that out. And so, you did a really good job on that, on your homework assignment as a kid, because, like, I'm into this.
I'm morbidly into this, too. Yeah. It's not always fun stuff. You know, there's a lot of tragedy as well as victories in labor, but that's really where it starts.
Mm-hmm. So what was her name? Frances Perkins?
Frances Perkins.
Is she a historic celeb crush of yours?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Big crush.
Oh, we love it. We love to see it. Political crushes. That's a type.
Strong female leads. Its own Netflix category.
It is its own Netflix category.
I want that biopic.
Yeah. So our next date question. You, as in Rhode Island labor, have been in the area for a long time, so you must have a lot of friends here. How deep is your crew? And by that, I mean, how many members, unions, representation does the state have?
Well, the AFL represents over 80,000 workers in the state.
Good Lord.
Is there even 80,000 people in the state?
Yes, we have just under a million.
We have 2 Congress people. Don't. We fought for that.
Damn right we did.
Oops.
Hater.
But the labor movement in itself is an amalgamation of lots of things. We have traditional trade unions, your Teamsters, your teachers unions, the AFT, the NEA. You've got carpenters, electricians, food service workers, the lot. And then you also have like co-op movements. You have worker advocacy groups like Fresa Liberal, which very specifically help recent immigrants in the state of Rhode Island in worker advocacy. So I like to count them as a part of our unit, even though they're not a formal union. They still work to protect workers. So for me, that's good in my book.
Yeah, our book too.
Mm-hmm.
If organized labor were a sandwich, what sandwich would that be?
So I thought about this.
Mm-hmm. She stayed up last night.
Yeah.
It really keeps me up at night just thinking about that. I think like an Italian grinder, and not just because, you know, the whole like Fed Hill Italian American thing in Rhode Island, but it takes so many ingredients to make this like very delicious sandwich.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of everything, all the different kinds of meats and then the lettuce and whatever else you want to put on it. And then it was also suggested to me that maybe like an ice cream sandwich.
Oh. Why?
Cold.
Because it's comforting, it's cool, it's refreshing, it's icy when you need it to be. My friend Danielle DiRocchio had suggested this from the Graduate Assistance Union, and she's like, it also makes a really good projectile at bosses and scabs.
Ooh. Not wrong.
Yeah.
Not that this is an endorsed practice.
Yeah, we don't throw things.
We don't throw things in front of cameras.
If organized labor were to be an Italian grinder, would they be like the oil vinegar kind or the mayonnaise kind?
Oh, probably oil vinegar. It's all about that like unity, right? Okay. Like we're bringing in things that might not necessarily mix at first. It's a little bit of everything.
That's awesome.
Would this oil and vinegar be on the ice cream sandwich as well?
Mayonnaise on an ice cream sandwich, 100%.
That's disgusting. You're disgusting, Shay. And I put mayonnaise on an Italian grinder. I'm not going to lie. It helped keep the lettuce on it.
Okay.
Tasty. This is my favorite question. When were you, AFL-CIO, born, and what is your star sign?
Good Lord.
God, Shay.
Elise's eyes just glazed over.
Yep.
Well, and I hate to admit it, I'm pretty sure that we are an Aries.
Fuck yes.
I did
say that again one more time. I just want to hear it.
Just whisper it. This is sexual fascination.
This is my ASMR.
It's a fire sign. So the AFL comes from a lot of different organizations. One of like the first ever labor unions in the United States is the Knights of Labor that came and died out in the early 1800s.
Do they have like swords?
I hope so. Not in recorded history, but that's how I like to imagine it. Like
if there's
valiant
knights
with armor.
Yeah. If there's Knights of Labor, is there Days of Labor? Continue.
We're all just gonna.
This is when people leave the date.
Yeah. I gotta go check my phone in the bathroom.
So, the earliest, like the birthday that I could think for the AFL specifically would be March 27th, 1884, in Providence, when the Central Labor Union was first founded.
A March Aries, even better.
Because the AFL CIO now. Mm-hmm. In the Central Labor Union, it was all it's a federation, right? So it's like a union of unions.
Which is beautiful.
Which is why I also say disorganized labor.
Yeah.
Because as an organizer with the AFL, my job isn't actually to directly organize units. I don't really file grievances, which is what a traditional person would do in like an actual union. I organize the unions together for like specific campaigns and stuff like that. So
like literally herding cats.
You know, everyone wants to get along, but personalities.
Yeah, they're domesticated.
They're in it. If you promise, like, a free lunch or something, they at least show up to the meeting.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
We're working on it. We're all Zoom trained at this point, so there's a little bit more collaboration going on.
Looking back, if you could have changed perhaps one thing, like shot for a four-day work weekend or something like that, what do you think you might have changed or shot, you know, bigger for?
Well, something I would and want to change about labor right now really is this image and perception of diversity, right? Like, I think this is a question that all institutions are grappling with, especially ones that are as old and steeped in tradition as the labor movement. I mean, 1 in 9 workers in the United States are represented by a union. That's 15.9 million people. This makes it one of the largest institutions of America, and it is inherently a diverse institution. Historically, however, we're talking about personalities and disorganized labor. It doesn't mean that everyone gets along, right? There are many cases of unions not letting in people of color because they don't think that they should be a part of their unit or protected by their unit, where women are subjugated because their trade isn't really worthy or skilled or however you want to put it, right? So it's not perfect and it's not a clean history. So that's definitely something that is frustrating to look at the past and see all of the victories we missed because we could be more unified, that we couldn't be more in solidarity with one another. And that's something that we need to keep an eye to. But progress is being made. The AFL just elected its first female president.
Hey.
Yeah, Liz Schuler. We also have the most diverse executive board at the national that we've ever had. We have our first African-American in the secretary-treasurer position, Fred Redmond. This is at the national level. We also, our executive vice president Tephra Gebre, emigrated from Ethiopia when he was 14 years old. So we try, and there is especially this realization that you need to keep an eye to including as many voices as possible when you're talking about organizing something as diverse as all workers in America.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Everybody's a worker as long as you're not like ultra rich.
Yeah.
No working there.
Looking at you, Bezos.
And then we also Wayne have a worker. People who would like rather launch themselves into space than pay a living wage, but
or pay taxes. But that's weird. A different conversation.
Yeah.
Mm, how about that? Oh, okay. So this is a little bit of a loaded question, but it's good to get out on the first date. So maybe we don't have to bother with the second if it's not good and it's not compatible. But why would you say people don't like you?
Well,
not as autumn as.
Okay. I got loads of things that no.
I was going to say, well, Scorpio, but.
I can tell you exactly why bosses don't like unions. And it's because collective action evens the playing field. Right. Some bosses, historically and presently, will go a long way to make sure that their workers do not organize and do not form unions. I mean, recently we saw the very upsetting vote coming out of Amazon to organize. There were a lot of law breaking and misinformation coming down from Amazon to make sure that their workers didn't organize. And we're seeing a lot of pushback there. We have a lot of reform to do in our legal and then also from a PR perspective to make sure that we can keep pushing that conversation, especially at Amazon. But historically, too, I mean, strikes can sometimes be like literal battles. The first civilian use of the Gatling gun, which is like the proto machine gun invented during the Civil War, was used against striking coal miners in 1914 in Ludlow, Colorado.
Good Lord.
Yeah, wow. This was Rockefeller's Colorado Fuel and Iron Company. So when they were on the strike, and this was like a long, dirty battle, they had started these like tent colonies outside of the coal mines. Because it was also company housing. It was a standard practice at the time that if you were with anything like railroad building, mills, whatever, usually what the industrialists will do is set up like company housing and the company store and whatever else. And really what it is that not only are you working their mines, building their railroads, working in their factories, you're paying them rent and your pay goes right back to them when you're buying groceries and everything else. So it becomes this like really toxic system. And this was common practice, especially in the 1800s and up into the 1900s. By the end of this dispute in Colorado, they had called in the National Guard. And this is when they used the Gatling gun. 22 strikers had died.
Good Lord.
Wow.
In Rhode Island, right, making it local, we're just about to celebrate and commemorate lost workers in the state. 1934 saw one of the biggest textile worker strikes in America. Central Falls and Pawtucket participated in this strike. This was really a violent dispute. It'd been dragging on for a really long time. We're in the height of the Great Depression. People are angry on all sides, and it's turning violent. People are desperate. This is what happens when you threaten people's ability to just live, people's ability to be housed and to feed their families and to be healthy and to enjoy life. It's not pretty. It's not always peace, right? So this 48-hour standoff led to the governor of Rhode Island calling in the National Guard.
Who was the governor?
I think it was Green at the time.
Interesting.
I would have to double check on that. I'm not great with my lineage of Rhode Island governors.
That was right around the time of the Bloodless Revolution in Rhode Island as well.
Yeah. So we've got this weird political turmoil going on in the state, statewide.
For listeners who don't know what the Bloodless Revolution is, it's when this state essentially flipped blue to Democrats, and it was with T.F. Green and McCoy and one of their friends, because everybody knows everybody. And that's since then, it's pretty hard to get elected at the state level as a Rhode Islander if you are a Republican or an independent. And people will just put the D next to their name so that they can get elected.
Yeah, got a lot of those dinos.
Dinos.
Democrats and name only.
Dino nuggets are really good, just as a side. Continue.
So in 1934, you have this coming to a head in September of that year. Two workers had died during this, and it really was a back and forth, but the National Guard had been called against people that were like throwing rocks, right? So it was like rocks versus bullets. In Mashasik Cemetery in Central Falls, you can still see bullet holes in the headstones from this incident. And then this carried over into more riots in the Social District in Woonsocket, which is a very historical mill area, also like has seen every single wave of immigration that's come through the state, most famously known for being like the French-Canadian quarter of Red Island, but it's a turning over community. Two more people had died by hands of National Guard there 2 days later. So this is something that we do try to memorialize every year. We have a annual Labor Day address in the cemetery to commemorate it. So this September, September 6th at 11 a.m., I'll be giving the Labor Day address for the Labor History Society. So if you want to join me in a cemetery...
During the day.
There's snacks and music. It's fun.
There's food in the cemetery?
That's a true like public historian saying, it's cemeteries are fun, I swear.
It's fine. It's outdoorsy.
Mm-hmm. And cemeteries originally were built to be a public meeting space for fun around the dead.
Yeah. So.
Stick that in your hat, Elise.
Yeah, call it macaroni. Good Lord. I have a lot of questions, but... Shay, that was a loaded question. And Autumn/Big Labor, thank you for sharing that. But why should people like you, if that's all the reasons they didn't or don't?
I got a very short, brisk list for you, and I can elaborate.
Go for it.
Higher wages, health care, paid sick leave, pensions, the weekend, equality. The weekend also, not the musician, but like Saturday and Sunday.
Even though I'm sure I think he's pro-labor.
I would like to imagine he's pro-labor. Equality, safety, all these things, the union has been statistically proven to improve. Higher wages, union workers on average earn 11.2% more than non-union workers in the same job and field. Healthcare workers, 96% of workers covered by a union contract have a pension, as opposed to 69 non-union workers. 69%. I see your face, Shay.
Such a pervert. We're talking about real stuff here, you pervert.
Talking about a pension. I got a pension. I'm an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll set you up with a private 401k because I don't know if you've got a pension. Mm-hmm. We'll work on your retirement plan.
93% of union workers have access to paid sick days.
Ooh. Suck on that.
The 40-hour work week came from a centuries-long struggle to keep shortening the work week.
Can we still work for that, for the 4-day work week?
Oh, I would love to.
Yeah.
We'll talk. We'll work on that.
Tell me how we get that going, because trying to do that.
Also, fun fact, there's a higher life expectancy in states where there is a high union membership.
Oh. No, sir.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So in states with high union membership, the average life expectancy is 80 years versus low union memberships is about 78 years old.
Rhode Island actually has
two whole years.
Yeah, actually has one of the longevity of people's lives, like in the state of Rhode Island. And it's
all those snowbirds cashing in their pensions to go down to Florida, but it counts.
But no, we don't count those because they're not in Rhode Island. So we don't even count them.
So not even them, but that's us too.
Yeah, our regulars. Our regulars.
And unions also give us equal opportunity for advancement in the workplace, right? Even with our long history of exclusion and discrimination within the labor movement, at the end of the day, if you're in a contract and if you're in a protected unit, you have far more ability to advocate for yourself if you feel like you're being discriminated against for any reason, especially on an identity-based reason. And safety, right-to-work states, we don't like those. Those are states that prohibit union security agreements
for employers
and labor unions. No, Rhode Island is not a right-to-work state. But in right-to-work states, they have a 37% higher workplace fatality rate.
Workplace fatality?
Fatality.
Damn.
So these are all the things where the more unions, the better.
Suck on that,
Missouri. So you should like us.
More onions, the better. I always say.
Good Lord.
Okay, so.
As long as they're union onions.
Of course, that's a great answer. That's on brand. So, like any good date, especially in Rhode Island, we run into some friends, and they have some questions for you as well.
Aww.
All right. So, here are some of the questions. Elise.
So, syrup slut on Instagram. I think that's why Shay wanted me to do this. Would you ever date someone
100%.
Who crossed a picket line? You can answer yourself for yourself as well as your organization.
Well, the party line and my line, no, absolutely not. You do not get in bed with someone who crosses a picket line.
Okay.
Don't even, like, share a meal with someone who crosses a picket line.
What if it's to, like, save a kitten from a burning building?
That kitten shouldn't be across the picket line either.
Now we're just victim blaming this kitten. But okay, I'm here for it.
I'm allergic to cats, so I don't really care.
Even better.
At Bro Numsy on Twitter asks, what was the first union in Rhode Island and which one has been around the longest if that one is no longer around?
Ooh, that's a good one. First union in Rhode Island. I could tell you the first strike.
Okay.
Which would lead to larger unionization. So we're talking about industrialization really being the birthplace also of the American and Rhode Island labor movement. The first strike was with cotton mill workers who had organized in spring of 1824. A week-long strike closed 8 cotton mills in Pawtucket. The strike was the first known in the state and in the country that was led by women. The weavers struck to protest an increase in hours and a reduction of pay that had been coordinated by the local mill owners. The newspapers, of course, had called it a riot, right? But the workers prefer the term turnout. Actually, they also set fire to one of the mills.
Or, happens.
Oh. I don't know if the workers had set fire or if it was like the sympathetic community, because they were actually able to garner the sympathy of the surrounding community.
Oh, it's like Rhode Island Burning Man.
A little bit different.
So the community itself
Nobody's naked.
Protested and supported the workers. And by the end of that week, on June 6th, 1824, a settlement was reached and the workers returned to the mills. So that is the first recorded strike in the state of Rhode Island, and it was with the cotton mill workers, which would later become probably a part of the there's a couple garment workers unions. So the UTW was probably the United also labor loves acronyms, which is why I thought maybe the BLT. But
that's fair.
Yeah. That's the oldest one I can think of.
Is that the first union that was in Rhode Island?
That's the United Textile Workers. I just remembered it.
Mm.
Yes, the earliest unions in Rhode Island were the Knights of Labor, the International Workers of the World, and then the
hold on, the International Workers of the World.
Yes, the IWW.
To Rhode Island.
Oh wait, that is what that stands for.
A lot of unions will say international in them.
Yeah,
and when they started in their origin, they were calling to a larger international movement. And in fact, Labor Day should not be celebrated in September.
We don't want Virgos.
No,
we don't want a Virgo holiday.
Nobody knows what that means, Shay.
Well, also, Virgos are very neat and clean and organized, so we're fine with Virgos. They make excellent roommates. But
what is this? How did we even get you?
No. Okay.
I specifically asked Autumn to be here because of this.
The real tea is that Labor Day should not be celebrated in September. It should be celebrated in May, on May 1st or May 30th, depending on who you ask, because that is International Workers' Day. But it was so heavily associated with socialists and communists in the 1840s that the government had decided we're just going to move the day. We'll have a day to honor workers. This came after a lot of strikes and parades of workers saying we're just going to do it anyways. But we're just going to move the date so it doesn't seem so communist.
Oh. We do a lot of those things.
Yeah. We do.
We move a lot of things and rename a lot of things to not seem so communist friendly.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
I mean, you more or less answered at Josh
Schwanier.
How did you say that?
Schwanier.
Okay, that person. Mm-hmm. Who was asking when, where, and why did the first labor strike or turnout happen? And so you did answer that with the cotton people, your cotton friends.
Yes, my cotton friends. But, you know, labor is a part of so many other struggles, like beyond just traditional striking and worrying about contracts. One of our favorite moments in Rhode Island history, the Dorr War.
So funny. We'll get to that in another episode.
Funny?
It is funny. It's actually quite a funny moment in Rhode Island history. But in the 1830s, most workers in the state couldn't vote because they didn't own sufficient land. Yeah. And at that time, you didn't have universal male suffrage, right? Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time coming.
Labor advocates in the state, I think it was Seth Luther, William Tillinghast, great name. Mm-hmm. They organized these efforts along with Thomas Wilson Dorr, to try and get a new constitution going. At this point, we were still being governed by our colonial charter, which was drafted in the 1600s. So they ratified the People's Constitution. So for a little while in 1841, Rhode Island had two working governments, two governors, two state governments.
Feels right.
But this all came out of really a workers' frustration that they aren't being represented by their laws in government, these same laws that dictate like work hour weeks and standard pays and all these sort of things. So worker struggles have also been tied up in so many other larger movements.
Awesome.
Mm. So looking forward, though, and before we end our date, we have to ask, what are your intentions? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, what are my intentions? You know, I just want to treat my workers right. Oh, you know,
we love that.
I just want to give them a good time. Give them some livable wages, mm-hmm. you know, advocate for like better pathways to citizenship.
Hell
a
yes.
better environment to live and work with.
Ooh.
Right?
Paid sick leave.
Advocating for like affordable housing and healthcare and safety and education. All those things. That's all we want, right? But we also are one of the most unionized states in the country. 18% of Rhode Island is protected by a union contract. And I really don't see why in the next 5 years we couldn't raise that number to 25%. And be one of the leading states in the country for unionization.
Which state is the leading state?
Hawaii is 23% organized.
Wow.
And I think New York is like 22%. But we're in like the top five.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Top five.
Heck yeah.
Let's do it. Usually when Rhode Island's in the top five, it's like top five potholes. Assholes of the potholes assholes.
Short people.
Hey.
The huge.
Well, damn. This was an amazing date. Elise, how do you feel about this date?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Are we going to take Autumn out again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Is Rhode Island labor a keeper?
150%.
1,000%.
Yeah.
And moms love me.
Mm-hmm. Moms do love labor.
They do because
nobody's been giving
them any. A chunk of women are in the union.
Yeah. Nobody's been respecting them this entire time anyway.
Well, Autumn, we really loved having you on. So thank you for being here with us today. You fit in very well with the two of us. And we really, really can't wait for everybody who is listening to just like really soak this in and get to know.
Maybe I should hug a union worker. Ask for consent first.
Oh, but wait,
yeah. And see if they're vaccinated too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, there's a lot of steps before that. But like, say thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, if you find a Teamster. Mm-hmm. Hug a Teamster, especially the ones. This is my plug.
All right.
We have an active picket line right now in Quonset, North Kingstown, at Johnson Brothers Distributing. They are the exclusive distributor for Gala Wine products. The issue is with the truck drivers that bring our precious, precious alcohol to our precious, precious liquor stores. They only pay their workers $15 an hour, which is far below the industry standard. They understaff the trucks. So you've got one, usually guys, it's predominantly male, and it's also predominantly men of color. And you've got one guy in the truck who's got to unload cases and cases, and it's brutal on your back. It's brutal on your whole body. It's super unsafe. There's a lot of injuries. So that would be alleviated by having two people in the truck. They pay out of pocket for their health insurance. I've heard of workers paying more than $500 a month for their health care.
Oh, my.
And they, Johnson Brothers has not really been great at coming to the table with the Teamsters. They just recently voted to organize down at Johnson Brothers. They were at the negotiating table back in June, where Johnson Brothers gave them a returning offer of an increase by a nickel. We'll pay you $15.05.
Wow, so generous.
So we're not drinking Gala wine products until
this
is settled.
Not.
We're not drinking Gala wines, and that includes, I know for all of our basic ladies like me, High Noon seltzers. Oh. That's one of their biggest products.
Ooh.
So
what else? What else should we avoid?
Any of the Gala wines. I'm sorry, I'm just a snob. That's really what it is. Amsterdam vodkas, E&J brandy.
Oh man,
yeah,
they got my E&J.
They got your E&J. But for a full list of products to avoid, you can always follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at RIAFLCIO. And also the lookout for the Teamsters Local 251. They'll have a list for you too.
Do it.
Checking you out, Teamsters 251.
Wink, wink.
What does Teamster mean?
Couldn't tell you.
Okay. Yeah. That's what we
know. There's so many of them.
I didn't know.
They're also an the International Brotherhood of Teamsters.
I know. I knew that. I knew there was a brotherhood. I always wish that I could, I thought it was sort of like the...
And hug a nurse, as long as they're vaccinated. 100%.
Yeah, the vaccinated nurses.
We also have a contract dispute at Fatima Hospital right now with the nurses under UNAP.
Mm. What's that? I will nap.
Yeah, personally. I think it's the United Nurses and Allied Professionals. Again, these acronyms, but it's the nurses union.
Mm.
They're dealing with short staffing and also very unsafe working conditions.
Get them more friends. And pay them all livable wages.
Really, at the end of the day, if you want more workers, just pay them. Pay them what they're due.
Yeah. Pay them what they're worth.
Yeah.
Which is a lot more than you're paying them right now.
Yes.
Given your Instagram, Twitter, what have you, and that you were just kind of asking us to follow you, it feels like an invitation for us to social media stalk you.
Sure. Yeah.
Their RIAFLCIO Instagram is really good. There are some fun diagrams.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I repost a lot.
Autumn kills it with this with the Canva. Canva Pro?
Canva Pro, baby. Except we don't qualify for the nonprofit exemption.
This is bullshit.
Because trade unions are basically the only nonprofit that's not allowed to claim any nonprofit discounts.
I feel like we should have negotiated that. Just putting that out there.
Whatever. I'll use all my pension dollars. I'll use my union dollars for my Canva Pro account.
Yeah.
My good. Union dollars go to Canva Pro and drag queens. That's really it. That's where I spend most of my money.
Mm. We should unionize them. What's the best union in Rhode Island?
Oh, I can't answer that.
So I can. It's the Santa's union. And that was just, I'm going to leave it at that. Back in around Christmas, guys.
Yeah.
Because I got an expose for you.
She's already started.
I've infiltrated the Santa's union. I'm gaining weight as we speak. Growing a beard. It's a long con.
It's good. You know what? Whatever you need to do. They'll take care of you. Once you're in the union.
I got it all. I got elves for every day.
No.
So that's all we have for today, folks. So please let us know what you thought by interacting with us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all at Anchored the Show.
And with that, stay salty, everyone.